Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
The NFL draft is now officially open.
This is draft season. John Schmoke, Tony Pauline with you. We are into November, the back stretch of the college football season, as we continue to look ahead to the 2024 NFL draft. Go back to our previous episodes. We've done all of our offensive rankings and we've done our defensive line rankings. This week, we're on to linebackers. Tony has a master list that includes inside linebackers, outside linebackers, off-ball variety, and including some of those kind of smaller 3-4 edge rushers as well. So we'll get to all that and more on draft season. But Tony, before we do the position rankings, a couple of big-time games in college football over the weekend. Let's start with the SEC, Alabama and LSU. What were your major takeaways from that game?
You know, I'm not a Jaden Daniels fan, if you will, but I'm impressed by his decision-making.
He's getting better every week.
He sees the field. And we talked about it early in one of these early podcasts about Malik Nabers. And I said that Malik Nabers' success and draft ranking will be associated with, you know, Jaden Daniels. And we've seen Jaden Daniels take off. I mean, he had one bad interception late, and they got smacked by Dallas Turner, which, you know, that was a terrible hit. He was knocked out of the game. But you got to like his decision-making. His accuracy is a bit of a concern to me. When I talk about the accuracy, the inability to, say, you know, throw receivers free, if you will, the inability to lead receivers. You still see receivers adjusting for passes or reaching backwards. He's able to drop some dimes, as we saw with Malik Nabers. I mean, late in that game, down the right-hand side, it was like a 30-yard pass. It was a beautiful pass. But, you know, I think you're really starting to see Jaden Daniels kind of gel. And we saw it last year, if you remember. The first half of the 2022 season, LSU was all over the place. Jaden Daniels got it together. He played well. They lost the game to Alabama, and it was back and forth until the very late part. But I think you got to like what you see from Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, I think he's getting himself into day two conversation here, Tony. Like, if a team wants to take him as a bit of a project with his athleticism and arm talent, I could see him being a third-round pick here. That wouldn't shock me.
He's the type of guy, he goes to the Shrine Game, he goes to the Senior Bowl, he has 3 good days of practice, he does some good interviews there. I can absolutely see that happening. And as we talked about, you know, it's a deep quarterback class, so there's going to be a lot of competition there.
How about Nabers, Tony? Because I know, you know, these wide receiver rankings, a lot of people have guys in different spots. It would still not surprise me one bit if Nabers is the second wide receiver off the board on draft day.
It wouldn't, but it's more so because after Marvin Harrison, right now it's a hodgepodge and it's anybody's guess. I mean, there are a lot of people who like Keon Coleman of Florida State for the second receiver. I think with that second tier of receivers, and everybody else is second tier after Marvin Harrison.
That's correct.
It's going to come down to the testing numbers that we see at the combines and the pro day workouts. But, you know, Nabers, you know, he was solid last year. I think his game has taken off this year. Like him a lot. And you know, I sound like a broken record, but as we've seen time and time again, LSU receivers are better on Sunday than they are on Saturday. And Malik Nabers is playing real good football lately.
Hey, look, and he just creates separation, right? You know, you mentioned Keon Coleman, Rome Odunziehe is another guy that's kind of in the mix there for some people for the number two wide receiver. But for me, you watch Nabers, I just think he separates and shows more burst than those other two guys. And we've talked about this before. You know, I think that in the end, and again, we can see if Egbuka gets back at some point and he puts himself back in that conversation too. He's been hurt. You know, I just think Nabers has some of that explosiveness and suddenness that maybe the other guys don't as much, that maybe NFL teams would gravitate towards.
like Jordan Addison, right? Jordan Addison was the biggest
exactly.
guy. He wasn't the super Fano. He wasn't a 4-4 guy, but he was a great route runner who knew how to separate, who catches the ball well. And again, you know, you talk about the separation, even that over-the-shoulder catch down the sidelines that Jaden Daniels, laid into his hands. Got to track the ball. You got to know where the sidelines are. You got to use your body to shield away the defender. Did a great job catching that deep pass.
Doesn't drop butt passes. Does not. He is very reliable in terms of his hands. I'm with you on that 100%. Anyone else jump out to you, Tony, from that LSU-Alabama game on either side?
I thought some of the Alabama defensive linemen did a good job. I mean, the LSU offensive line isn't what it is in the past, but I think some of those prospects in the middle of that Alabama defensive line played well. I didn't think the Alabama secondary, Malachi Moore had his moments, but I thought, Jaden Daniels got the better of what is a very talented Alabama secondary.
How did your man McClellan, the running back, look to you?
He was okay. I mean, it was basically the quarterback, Milrose, actually ran the ball better than McClellan. And, you know, you see Milrose, he's more of a runner than he is a passer, but he got the job done. McClellan was okay. I didn't think anybody on the in that defensive front line for LSU, I thought that was a disappointment. And as we talked about last week, I mean, Mekhi Wingo's not there. I'll be surprised if Mekhi Wingo plays again for LSU. Underwent the sports hernia surgery. I think he's going to enter the draft. So that was a big loss, a big hit to the LSU defensive line.
Yeah, and I watched for Mason Smith. He just didn't flash really much in the game to me.
And a lot of people really like him.
Yeah, well, he's got the tools. You just got to see more production out of him, that's for sure. The other game in what continues to be just Pac-12 shootouts, Tony, not a ton of defense being played out west this year between Oregon, USC, and Washington. This time it was USC and Washington, and it was just up and down the field, and a lot of passing and a lot of scoring.
You know, it's funny because when we had Dane Brugler on, we were joking around about how, you know, Caleb Williams had come off a couple of bad performances. Everybody had written his obituary. They were throwing dirt on his coffin. And, you know, you look at the guy, I mean, he carries that USC team. The only thing is he can't play defense, and USC can't stop anybody. 27 to 35 passing, 312 yards, 3 TDs. I mean, you just see the guy just gets it. He's Bryce Young in the sense of the way he sees the field, the way he knows what's going to happen before it happens, the way he's in tune with his receivers. It's just beautiful to watch. Not the biggest guy in the world, like Bryce Young, but, you know, just so many special things about Caleb Williams. I was happy to see because people in sports kids, what's going on with Caleb Williams? What's going on with Caleb Williams? Caleb Williams is going to enter the draft. He's going to be the first pick in the draft. Okay, there were a few bumps in the road, but, I mean, that USC offensive line is not what it is. The receivers are okay. They're not great. They're not Jordan Addison types, but a great performance by Caleb Williams. Michael Penix had a decent game as well. I mean, threw one bad interception, but he was able to respond. Michael Penix is going to be an interesting study leading up to the draft. You know, everybody watches those downfield throws, those great deep passes. But can he, can he throw the underneath passes? Can he hit receivers as they're coming out of the breaks and be accurate? What's going to be the situation with his medical history? How are teams going to look at that upon that? And we're not going to know that really till draft weekend.
Yeah, and Penix is another guy. I mean, I think he's a grad student, right? I think he's already graduated. He can certainly go to the Senior Bowl too, and we'll probably see him, I imagine, in Mobile. He tries to make the case that he should be a first-round pick. You know, there's a bunch of guys in the mix right now, Tony. I'll get to a couple more players in this game for a second, but we're talking quarterbacks. Have you settled on your quarterback 3 yet, or are you kind of still up in the air in terms of who your number 3 quarterback? Because there seems to be a lot of varying opinions on there. People like Penix, people like J.J. McCarthy, people like Shador Sanders. I know it doesn't look like he's coming out, but, there's a lot of different people in that mix if you look across kind of the draft spectrum.
My number 3 quarterback is Shador Sanders right now. If he doesn't come out, my number 3 quarterback is going to be J.J. McCarthy, who I'm told is going to enter the draft and who's already getting first-round grades from scouts. So I think what's going to happen is Caleb Williams will be number 1. Drake May will be a top 6 pick. And then I think when it comes to McCarthy, you're probably looking at that middle round. He should probably go anywhere from 12 to 22. He could go earlier because there were just so many teams that will be looking for a quarterback in the first round.
You know, we haven't mentioned Drake May's name. You just did. How close for you is he to Caleb Williams? Because I know people kind of have like a razor's edge between them, or are you more definitive there?
No, I mean, it was razor's edge coming into the season. And while I think Drake May has not played poorly this year, I think Caleb Williams has just been spectacular, except for a few bumps in the road. And he plays in, really, the Pac-12 has been an outstanding conference this year. And he's come through, and you see the way that Caleb Williams carries that team on his shoulders as opposed to Drake May. I have Caleb Williams. I think the spread would probably be about 5 or 6 picks. I don't think Drake May is going to be selected 5 or 6 picks after Caleb Williams. I think he'll be selected immediately after. There are two different types of quarterbacks. I mean, Caleb Williams is your RPO, mobile, outside of the pocket, off-platform throws, where Drake May, who can run, who can easily make plays on the move, you know, can get outside of the pocket, but he's a bigger guy who's more your pocket passer. So it's going to be a matter of tastes when it comes. What does a team want? What does a team look for their offense come April? It's not a razor's edge, but Williams, I think my number two player on the board right now is Marvin Harrison. Then it's Drake May.
Yeah, you could argue that Harrison should be the number one player on the board too, the way he's played this year. Talking to people around the league, last one on the quarterbacks, how many teams do you think have May ahead of Williams, or is it fairly universal that Williams is one?
I was surprised. I thought that there would be some teams that had Drake May number one QB. I've yet to hear anyone that has a quarterback over Caleb Williams. Now, again, I mean, if you're looking for the bigger, more prototypical pocket type passer, you may go with Drake May. But as of right now, I mean, the thing with Caleb Williams is he's just a special player on and off the field. We talked about this when we did the quarterback rankings. He's a dynamic personality. Last year with Bryce Young, Bryce Young was a genius. I mean, that's the way they characterized him. They say that Caleb Williams is just a dynamic person, dynamic personality. You know, he came out a couple of weeks ago, and he said, whatever team that drafts me, I want a piece of ownership of the team, you know, which isn't going to happen. And it seems like an outlandish statement, right? But hey, why wouldn't you want a guy that wants a skin in the game, right? Why wouldn't you want a guy who, you know, wants to make sure that, hey, I'm going to be with this team. I'm going to be a part owner of the team, which isn't going to happen. But it says something that, yeah, he's going to be vested into the next level.
No, absolutely agree. I want to ask you about another Washington player, and then you can, anybody else in that game, you can. You know, we talked about 3 Washington wide receivers when we did our wide receiver rankings a couple weeks ago. They've had some injuries, and a 4th Washington wide receiver has emerged, Polk, who's had some really big games, Tony. So I just want to kind of give you a chance to talk about what you think about Polk, because he's had some big games since, I think, McMillan hasn't really played the last couple weeks with that injury.
Yeah. The thing with Polk is good receiver, good route runner. The thing with Washington, what you're going to have to kind of decipher is it the quarterback? Is it the receivers? Or is it the system? Because we've seen that time and time again where the system has made the quarterbacks want to see how it plays out. I think right now you're looking still at a day 3 pick unless he tests off the charts. Once McMillan comes back, you're going to see Polk's playing time diminish significantly. But again, another guy in the pipeline, and that's why Washington is undefeated and basically vying for a national championship or to get into the Final Four in the college football playoffs.
Yeah, they played great. Anyone else from that USC-Washington game you want to touch on, Tone?
No, I mean, the quarterbacks were fun to watch. You look at the defense. They really, Zion Fudi, the pass rusher, I thought did a decent job. Got banged up, but came back, made some big plays in timely moments. They were able to contain Braylon Trice, the pass rusher from Washington. I mean, it was back and forth, really, till the very end. I mean, it was like a pinball machine with the way the points went up on the board. The USC receiver Taj Washington had a decent game. Brendan Rice also played relatively well. But you're talking about, you know, day 3 picks. I mean, these are guys who have their numbers and are made so much better by the quarterback, Caleb Williams.
All right, let's get to the rankings now. We'll go to linebackers, Tony. The first couple guys are more of your edge rusher type, so let's start there. I'll do a couple other guys from that kind of grouping, and then we'll hit the rest. Dallas Turner and Jared Verse are your two, you know, kind of locked in first rounders in this group. How much separates them? How are they different? I watched both guys this morning. I don't think a ton separates them. To me, they're both kind of, I think, between 10 and 20-ish type of picks if you watch them. Your thoughts on those two guys, and I'll kind of give you my take.
You know, I think it would be detriment to Dallas Turner just to characterize him as an edge rusher. That's what he's doing now. But go back and watch the 2021 film when he was basically used off the line of scrimmage in space as an off-ball linebacker. And you can tell back then when he was a true freshman, I wrote about it, that this guy had some special talent. So I give Turner the edge because I think he's a better athlete. I think he's more versatile than Jared Verse. I think he's a guy on third and five. You can send him up the field on the blitz, or you can even play him off the tight over the tight end, and he'll do a decent job for you in coverage. Jared Verse, outstanding story. Transfers from University of Albany in New York to Florida State. Makes an immediate impact. The guy's a terrific pass rusher. Not as athletic, not as fast. Going to be interesting to see how fast he times at the combine. I'm hearing in the mid-4.7s. And while that's not bad, that's not the 4.55s that we're seeing now, you know, these sort of undersized college defensive end pass rushers, run at the combine. I think they're different types of players. Like you said, Verse, I think, is more your traditional 3-4 outside linebacker. Turner, I have rated higher because I like his versatility. More athletic, covers a lot more area. You can, you run his own blitz. You can drop him in space. You can line him up over the tight end, or you can send him up the field.
Yeah, well, I'll give you some of my notes on Verse. Good, not elite athlete, which is kind of what you just talked about, right, with the testing. His hands are great. Like, he gets hands on these offensive tackles. He knocks them away. He's that great rip move. Even though he's not an elite athlete, he uses his hands well to create room off the edge to kind of get around the edge on some of these guys. Good burst explosiveness. He finishes well, and he's got power, Tony. This guy will put offensive tackles on a track and just push them into the quarterback's lap. And I think he does that fairly consistently.
He does. The only thing is going to be a little bit different. You know, he goes, what, 255 pounds?
A lot tougher in the NFL to do that, right?
Exactly. Then doing with tackles in the ACC. So, I think that's why I have Dallas Turner rated higher. Because, like you said, you don't see that great speed from Jared Verse. He's not a guy, in my opinion, that at the next level, if you send him up the field, he's going to be able to change direction and pursue from the backside and catch the ball handler from the backside, which is really what you want, or you want to have that ability to do that.
Yeah, for me, Dallas Turner, I thought he had a great quick inside move, man. He'll go outside, he'll get inside really fast and get to the quarterback. I'm honestly surprised, based on what I agree is very strong athleticism, Tony, he doesn't really go after the edge of the offensive tackle as much as I would think. Like, you don't see a lot of those, just win off the edge, get underneath the offensive tackle, dip and rip. You know, he almost uses his length more, and he's a long player. I think he does a good job with that. So I like he flashes it, but I like to see a little bit more consistency of getting on that edge and just challenging with what I think is athleticism that's good enough to do it, to win outside more consistently. But then again, maybe that's Alabama, right? Maybe that's Saban telling them, stay in your lane. We don't want you to get too far outside. So it's a kind of tough thing to balance.
It could be that. It could also be just inexperience as an edge rusher. Because like I said, go back and watch the 2021 film when they had Will Anderson there. He wasn't rushing the edge. He was playing in space and doing a good job of it. So maybe it's just more the fact that I would agree with what you said. I mean, if it's basically gap assignments and responsibilities that Nick Saban wants him to do, that could be the issue. Or it could be that he's just an undeveloped pass rusher and he's really got to develop that area of his game more, as opposed to the guy who was a true freshman, was basically running all over the field in coverage and pursuit, making plays 10 and 15 yards off the ball rather than just basically being used up at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, and that to me was holding him back from being a lock top 10 pick. Like, in the last few games, if he can really get more consistent with that, I think he can vault himself into that top 10 area. All right, we're not going to go in order here. I'm going to jump to a couple of guys that I would more consider edge players, Tony, and then we'll get more to the off-ball guys. Those are your first two. Number five on your list, we talked about Chop Robinson. Well, his running mate on the other side is Adisa Isaac, and that's a guy that does challenge the edge, right? I think almost to the point where he's almost like a one-trick pony. He's win outside, win outside, win outside. He's constantly trying to win with his speed around that edge.
Primarily coming out of a three-point stand, 6'4", 250 pounds, athletic, explosive, expected to run under 4.6 during pre-draft testing.
He's and fast.
A guy who is, he's going to have to learn more versatility in his game because you watch Penn State, as I said, primarily comes out of a three-point stance. As you said, just takes those wide angles around the pass rushers. Now he's got to learn, he's probably going to have to learn to stand up over tackle at the next level, going to have to learn to drop off the line and play in space. He has the athleticism. I like his intensity too. He's a go, go, go type of player. You know, yep. No let up in Adisa Isaac. And there is a lot of talent on that Penn State defense, as we've talked about in the past, as we'll talk about today. So there's a lot of competition there. And the fact that he's probably practicing, taking a lot of reps against Fashanu in practice the past couple of years has also helped him. Undeveloped, you're prototypical undersized college defensive end who's going to have to learn to stand up over tackle. Doesn't always work out because sometimes a lot of you come out of a three-point stance, but he's going to have to learn more to develop his game. He's one of those guys that has got great potential, and I think, you know, early on you may see him as a situational player. Right now I have a second-round grade on him.
Yeah, listed at 6'4", 250. We'll see what he is when he eventually measures up here. Last edge guy I want to touch on with you, Tony, someone you mentioned when we were talking about the Washington-USC game, that's Braylon Trice. I really like watching this guy. His motor's lit on fire. He's always going 100 miles per hour. Now, I don't see that elite athleticism, which would push him into the first round. But, man, he gets inside a lot. He's very strong. He's powerful. He's going to be a really, really good NFL player. I'm just not sure how high the ceiling is. And I also think, you know, you have him here as an outside linebacker because that's how they use him at Washington, right? He's a stand-up guy all the time. I think in the NFL, he could be a three-point stance guy. I think he's strong enough to set the edge to me.
Not only strong enough, probably big enough. 6'3 and a half, 70 pounds, and he's probably going to put on more weight before he takes it off. So I agree with you. The only thing about Trice that concerns me is, you know, I just mentioned it, he's kind of streaky. I mean, you'll see him make a couple of plays and blow the game up, and then he disappears. So I think, you know, going back to Isaac, Adisa Isaac, he's got to develop his game. He's got great upside potential. He's got decent size. And you're right about the athleticism. Well, you're looking at a 40 time. It's probably not going to get under 4.7. But if he's 6'3 and a half, 270, 275 pounds, and he runs in the mid-4.7s, you got a very athletic or very quick a defensive end there in a four-man front who could occasionally stand over tackle. I like his fundamentals. I like the way he uses his hands.
Yeah.
You talk about the fact, you know, he goes, plays with a nasty streak, really looks to attack opponents, The streakiness with Trice does concern me on occasion, though.
Yeah, what I like is that he'll face a lot of double teams, Tony, and a lot of players, and you see this at the NFL level, when you run into two guys at the line, they'll just kind of tap out and they're like, all right, I'll hold here. I'll occupy the guys. But he still tries. Like, he'll bounce off one, try to get around the other one. He'll try to run through the middle. He even though he gets doubled, he still really puts that effort in to try to get after the quarterback, which I like.
And again, I think it's a mentality at Washington, especially on defense. You know, we talked about all the talent that they have at the receiver position. We talked about something, you know, they've got Zion Tupula Fatui, who's rated much lower down the scale, was a dynamic player early in his career before injury set in, and he struggled, although he's still a good player. We talk about, you know, the Penn State defense. Washington's got a lot of good defensive players in that front seven, have some players in secondary too, so there's a lot of competition there. So you better be on your game every snap because there's a guy behind you that's ready to take your spot.
Yeah, the results for that Washington defense just haven't been there so far on the field in terms of actually keeping points off the board. All right, let's go, Tony, to some of your off-ball guys. Your top two, you kind of have them pretty close to each other in your rankings. Curtis Jacobs from Penn State and Barrett Carter from Clemson, both kind of your more traditional old-school 4-3 outside backers.
And I may have them rated higher than most, especially Curtis Jacobs. I've talked to scouts who have him graded as a mid-first-round pick. I have talked to scouts who have him graded as a third-round choice. I am just more of a traditionalist. And when I see a guy like Jacobs, who's 6'2", 235, runs and plays in the mid to low 4.5s, outstanding in pursuit, terrific in coverage, covers a lot of area. You know, everybody loves the pass rushers these days, but you need those off-the-ball guys on third and six that can stay downfield with the tight ends, with the running backs, and do a good job when the ball is in the air. And that's what Jacobs has done for 3 years. I mean, he's not just a one-year wonder. He was a guy that 3 years ago you started to take notice of. Excuse me. He was a guy who really considered entering last year's draft. I have him as a potential late first-round choice. I think with Jacobs, it's more that, you know, quarterback's a priority. The pass rush is a priority. It's not a great pass rusher, but they don't need him to be a great pass rusher because they got Isaac and they got Chop Robinson up front. He does the little things very well, stacks well against the run, fires up the field, fills those gaps and run defense. I just like his complete game as, you know, your traditional 4-3 outside linebacker, if you will. And that's what Barrett Carter's like. I mean, he's a guy who goes sideline to sideline, very athletic. Remember Trenton Simpson from a year ago? Everybody loved Trenton Simpson. I look at Barrett Carter as a guy who's got more instincts than Simpson. He's sort of similar, undersized type of run and chase linebacker. He's a guy, if you watch the film, sometimes he's 20, 25 yards downfield in coverage, makes plays with ease, like his athleticism. But again, you know, he's not the prototypical 6'3 and a half, 245 pound pass rusher. But, you know, teams need those off the ball linebackers. We've seen a lot of times where teams are now taking oversized college safeties and making them linebackers. Simpson is an undersized linebacker, but a real good football player with outstanding instincts.
Absolutely. Barrett Carter, they're out of Clemson. Then you have a couple inside linebackers here, Tony, coming in at, let's see, that would be 6 and 7 on your list. Cedric Gray and Junior Colson. Cedric Gray, inside linebacker from North Carolina. Junior Colson, inside linebacker out of Michigan.
Cedric Gray of North Carolina is a lot like Curtis Jacobs. You know, he's used more up the field by North Carolina, but he's a smart, instinctive guy. He goes very hard. He's athletic, covers a lot of area on the field, can be used in coverage, has a versatile game, not a bad pass rusher. They don't ask him to rush the passer too much, but a guy who, you know, goes hard every down. He's smart, plays through injuries, really like his game. Junior Colson, who I'm told is going to enter the draft from Michigan, his production has been way off this year, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens with him. He's a day two pick. I thought he was a guy who could hop into the top 42 if he had a good season. The production's down. Excuse me. He's not playing badly, which basically means, you know, it may be a product of the system, but he's got excellent size. He's very athletic. I think with Colson, to really get a full view of what he's capable of, you got to watch last year's film as well as this year's film. But last year's film, the production was really there. And you got to find out, you know, is it a situation where he's just asked to remain with certain assignments, you know, basically not run after the ball. And that's why the production, that's why the numbers aren't there this year.
Let's go to Jeremiah Trotter. He's your next inside linebacker here. I have not watched him yet this year. I have my notes from last year. I really liked him in coverage, Tony, as a player. I thought he did a good job. He was very aware in zone. I thought he blitzed pretty well. Explosive guy. Fast, can run sideline to sideline. You know, you look at his size, it's not surprising. Just 230 pounds. Just didn't think he was assertive enough in the run game. What have you seen from him so far this year?
Well, I'm going to agree with you on the zone. I'm going to disagree with you. I think he's more of a two-down run defender for the next level.
Okay.
He doesn't, he doesn't show the ability to play man. Had a great game this past weekend against Notre Dame. If you watched that game, had an interception, which he returned for a touchdown, which turned out to be the game winner. I think they won by 8 points, Clemson over Notre Dame. But he's smart. Obviously, he's got the great bloodlines, and he plays like he's got great bloodlines. You say 230, he plays like he's 245 pounds. I think he is your most natural inside middle linebacker type of this year's group.
All right. Anybody else from this group, Tony, that you want to touch on? Let me hit one school first. Ohio State is a bunch of guys on this list. Jack Sawyer, Steel Chambers, Tommy Eichenberg. You kind of have them all in that rounds 3 through 5 area.
And they're all different types of players. Jack Sawyer is more your 3-4 stand-up guy over tackle who's going to rush the passer. Doesn't do a bad job against the run, underclassman, a guy who's very fierce. Has been okay this year. I think they were expecting more of him. Tommy Eichenberg is your tough-as-nails middle linebacker type. Great run defender. Doesn't do a bad job down the field in coverage. Steel Chambers isn't a great athlete, but when you watch him, he looks like more the off-the-ball type of linebacker, a guy who makes a lot of plays in space, a guy who makes a lot of plays in pursuit. I'm told he's going to run the 4.7s, but you watch the film, and sometimes he's 25 yards downfield making plays in coverage. I think Sawyer is a possible day two pick. I think Eichenberg is more of a fourth round choice. I think Steel Chambers depends on how he runs. If he runs very well, he could be an early fourth round choice. If he runs, as scouts are telling me, in the mid to late 4.7s, he's more of your later round pick.
All right. Anybody else from this group, Tony, that you want to highlight?
Look at Edgerrin James of Texas A&M. I mean, this is a guy whose game has really taken off this year. He's a fierce pass rusher. Who's
Edgerrin Cooper. Edgerrin Cooper. You said Edgerrin James.
Sorry.
That's right.
Cooper of Texas A&M, who's played really well this year. His game is really elevated. Been a real good pass rusher. Terrific run defender. He's shown a lot of ability in pursuit. You're looking at a day three guy there. Danny Stutzman of Oklahoma, underclassman, who I'm told is going to enter the draft. Got a little bit dinged up with an ankle injury a couple of weeks ago, but a guy who flies around the football, more of your middle linebacker type. When we're in Mobile for the Senior Bowl, I'm sure we're going to see Javon Solomon of Troy, who is a sort of your 3-4 outside linebacker pass rusher type. Incredibly explosive, very intense, goes very hard, makes a lot of plays behind the line of scrimmage. And for you and I, a local guy, Tyrene Powell of Rutgers, who was not on the field Saturday against Ohio State, but he's got excellent size, 6'4", 245 pounds. Despite that size, he plays like a weak side linebacker type in the sense that he covers a lot of area on the field. He shows a lot of ability and coverage, goes sideline to sideline, makes a lot of plays in pursuit. I have a fifth-round grade on Powell right now, but I believe if he tests well and does well in the postseason at the Shrine Bowl, at the Senior Bowl, whichever one he's invited to and is able to play, if he's healthy, I think he's a guy who could watch his draft stock take off.
All right, Tony, just let's close here with kind of your general overview of this linebacker class. What do you think of it? Is it a strong class, a deep class? What's your overview of the linebacker group?
Well, obviously, a lot has to depends on which underclassmen come out. Because, I mean, you're looking at, when I look at my list here, Jared Verse Sr., Curtis Jacobs Sr., Adisa Isaac Sr., Cedric Gray Sr., Braylon Trice Sr., I've got 12 linebackers, edge rushers, whatever you want to call them, as day one or day two picks. But only 4 of them are seniors. Overall, I like the class because I think it's a situation where if you need a bigger guy as a 3-4 outside pass rusher, they'll be available to you. If you need your more traditional off-ball, weak side linebacker, they will be available to you. There's no Will Anderson in this year's group, but I like the versatility and I like the selection because you got good athletes who can rush the passer, who can play in coverage, who can pursue against the run. So I think overall it's a very solid group.
And Tony, before we wrap, just another really good weekend of college football here. You know, the parity this year, you don't have, I think, you know, as many dominant teams at the top. You get Penn State, Michigan should be a really good game. Florida State, Miami, you have some players to watch there. Washington, Utah, another one of those Pac-12 games. Tennessee, Missouri is a good game. Georgia, Ole Miss should have some players in there to keep an eye on. Just a lot of good matchups. LSU, Florida, just it should be another fun Saturday. USC, Oregon, I forgot to mention that one.
I mean, from a pro prospect point of view, there are going to be a lot of matchups to keep an eye on. From a college football point of view, I mean, this could be separation Saturday. This could be a situation where we see one of those teams in the top five, except for Ohio State, really go down and lose their first game and really struggle to get back into the college football playoffs. But, I mean, a lot to watch this weekend. And, you know, it's gonna continue to build, especially at that first Saturday after Thanksgiving when you get the rivalries and you'll get some big matchups. Keep an eye on this. If Chop Robinson doesn't play for Penn State this week, I think he's done at Penn State. He's going to enter the draft. He had that bad concussion against Ohio State. It was kind of scary watching him being carted off the field. The coach, James Franklin, said, you know, we're not going to have him for a while. Penn State loses against Michigan. They're done. I mean, their hopes, they're probably done anyway because lost to Ohio State. But they're definitely done if they lose to Michigan. Chop Robinson doesn't play. I think it could be a situation like Mekhi Wingo of LSU. We may not see him back on the field for Penn State this season.
And we'll see about Brock Bowers, too. We're tracking that injury to see if he's going to get back on the field. You mentioned Joy Tony. You think he's going to try, and we'll see what ends up happening with Brock Bowers, too. Another, you know, potential high draft pick that's yes. dealing with an injury. Tony, good stuff, my friend. Always a pleasure. We'll talk to you next week when we do DBs.
Look forward to it, John.
For Tony Pauline, I'm John Schmelk. This was draft season.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets.
Real Steel.
Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.